Well, welcome. Look, we are embarking to take some time and do a celebration of 30 years of Charles and Ann's ministry here at Life Center. Now, I want you to understand this is a celebration, not a graduation. They're not going anywhere. We're just enjoying them while they're here. Yeah. Is that okay? So the team's not breaking up. We're all good. We're here, and we hope you're here for the 60th anniversary in 30 more years. But some things are worth stopping and taking some time. And even out of taking some time and celebrating them, especially out of or very, very much in the heart of it, is that there's some things here at this church that have been pillars and foundation as a result of their lives and of their leadership. And so we're going to take some time. So whatever hits your heart and you glean off of as we share, put it right in there because it's for you. Because whether you've been here 30 years or 35 or 40 years or 30 days, all of this is what exists here, and we're celebrating what they've imparted. Can you say amen to that? So, all right.
So, wow, John, 30 years. I think I was 28 and you were 30.
30.
Do the math. And Marcy was all of 20 years old, so she still looks like she's all of 20 years old.
She does.
Oh, my. But Charles and Ann have often said that God uses the inadequate to do the impossible, and I feel like we are first fruits of that, like what he's done in our lives. In 30 years,
absolutely.
We were quite inadequate. We still are.
Sure.
And he's done impossible things through us.
That's true.
Anybody here, though, this morning? I know first service we had a handful of people. Anybody here that's been with us for 30 years? You might have to wave at me. I know first service we
Tom
had.
Tom Volk is back
right there. Carolyn Zeth's
that
been with
Zeth,
us.
Zeth, that's right.
Yeah. Anybody
so
else? Balcony, I'm looking
balcony
up there.
Somewhere.
See, there were, we had a handful.
Way back.
Can see wave. I can't even see. Way back. Oh, it's Otto Monroy. Is that Otto Monroy back there? Oh, my gosh.
He's been is with that us. Otto?
I think so.
That's amazing.
Nod your head if that's Otto. Yes.
Yes, it is. Wow. Can't see that far
I called out other people in the balcony, and it wasn't who I said they were. So.
Yeah. But 30 years, how do you put a lifetime and share it with you in an hour? That's going to be difficult. Charles and Ann came to us already with a lifetime in California and then 10 years of very successful ministry. So, you know, I don't know where the beginning, where do we start? In the beginning?
In the beginning, God.
No, that's a little too far.
Well, but our boys all thought that Charles was immortal.
Think
so.
He is. Still think he is
still
immortal.
He
he's
is.
One of the immortals. He's
yeah.
somewhere between 500 and 600 years old.
That's oh, no,
amazing.
No.
So I'm just kidding. So, wow. So we thought we'd start with Charles and Ann's beginning, if that's okay. And Pat and I are going to share, kind of in context, how we got to this place, the place of the building where we are. And so you'll see the old history a little bit, if you aren't familiar. And some
fun
of you
pictures.
Are familiar with it. So let's begin. We wrote these things down so we wouldn't miss anything. Are you ready? And so let's begin. Emerging from the late 60s Berkeley Haight-Ashbury cultural revolution, Charles and Ann were perfectly placed as God caught them in the cusp of their disillusion of man and in their hippie hunger for truth and
hippie
freedom.
Hippie hunger for truth and freedom.
God answered their deep...
You know, our wedding day in the Episcopal Church did not look like that. No, she hasn't.
She hasn't. Well, God answered their deep search for truth and love and life and passion. And Charles and Ann were permanently transitioned and transformed by the very living God they never knew they always wanted. Go ahead.
And they would discover that the advice Ann often gave as a midwife to young moms would become a metaphor for their journey. The gals in the women's ministry, you know this. The only thing you can expect is that it's not going to be what you expected.
That's right. And I believe, Charles and Ann, that in your very DNA, the way God made you, he made you to pursue him, pursue truth and love. And you really, if they were on a desert island by themselves, they would be committed to prayer and personal communion with God. It's just something that exists foundationally in the rhythm of your life. And it's made a difference for us. Thank you. Well, thus began their Abrahamic journey to the promised land of ground zero. They found themselves packing up their belongings, their longings, and their lives, and risking the road to California, from California to Pennsylvania. Now, for many of you, you know this, they arrived just in time to rescue and resurrect us in a very difficult season back then at Word Fellowship. Charles and Ann, you brought to us a refreshing hunger for God and a renewed faith in his promises. Your no judgment, all are welcome and accepted and celebrated perspective breathed life into our casket warehouse, spiritually sagging sails. That's so true. And through Charles and Ann's leadership, we caught the wind of God in prayer. We all began to heal together.
Now, we hear a lot about, you know, the devil undoing things, but I want to tell you, God knows how to do it. And what He's done in the past, He can do in the future. Only we have this promise that the latter house glory will be greater than the former house glory.
Woo! Tom Hughes. That's 38 years old Charles Stock. That's so fun.
So during this time, we had had what we called a head transplant with the former pastor, and then Charles inheriting what we had. And there were many young people at the time, some older people, that were choosing to go to different places of worship instead of staying with us. And John and I, being the young age that we were asking God, what, you know, should we stay? Should we go? And I had a significant dream during this season that marked our lives. And in the dream, Brian and Marcy were with us, and we were at a beach house down in the Nag's Head and on the Outer Banks, and a huge storm came up. And in the, because the storm was coming up, we all went to hold on to something that was secure. So in the dream, Brian and Marcy went and held on to the pipes in the bathroom downstairs of the house, and John and I were upstairs holding on to the pipes. And the bathroom speaks of intimacy and personal places. And in this dream, the storm came up and it literally pulled the house off of its foundation. And like a Wizard of Oz scenario with the house spinning, we tumbled and tumbled and tumbled and tumbled out into, way out into the ocean. But in the dream, Charles, larger than life, showed up. And he took the house and he set it aright. And he placed it in the foundations of not the back on the shore, but deep into the ocean. And back then, I wouldn't have even understood what that significance of being placed deep in the waters meant. But I'm so glad that I woke up that morning and I told John we're staying. And it's been something that marked us. And I am so profoundly grateful that they set us in the foundations of the ocean.
It's true. Yeah. I know with Brian and I, as we were all working together, we had just met Charles and Ann, but in a few months, there's a eternal connection with our hearts. And we got to the point, really, which were Gideon's army, but we also got the point in our hearts where we said, look, if it just ends up the three couples in the living room, we're really good with that. And then it turned. Life turned. It did. Well, let me continue. As years added, our prayer life gave birth to passion and pursuit of God in His presence. Toronto's blessing came to us by way of Charles and Ann's Lewis and Clark scouting trip and the return altar invitation, where over half of our congregation responded to their offer for God to quench our thirst. Wow, it was amazing. We would never be the same as this season of the supernatural soaking, seeking, receiving, finding, and expressing became a rerooting to the tree of life. Intimacy and miracles were our fruit, and it was, and still remains. Charles and Ann's big God theory grew, theology grew, and we were swallowed up in the more of God.
More Lord.
More Lord. Certain growth and certain relationships deepened. People like Bishop Joseph Garlington, Andrew Shearman, and Ken Henry became deeper friends as we transitioned. But new friends were embraced in a forever kinship. Randy Clark, James Gall, Che Ahn, Lou Engel, Wesley and Stacy Campbell. Charles and Ann led us into the great halls of God's kingdom, boundaryless and packed full of new possibilities and a power that only humility and love could create.
Ann often shared during this season that as she and Charles were growing to maturity, she could see him growing into this tall tree with branches spread out. And it was wonderful, but the only problem is she felt he was hiding her light. And she was like, God, how can I grow? I can't even get enough light here. Until one day he showed her that she was growing and she was a significant tree that would get its sustenance from the shade, and it was producing some of the richest fruit. And we as a women's, as a congregation and as a women's ministry, we've experienced this wonderful fruit. And one of the gifts that Anne has given me, as well as so many of you, is just the freedom to be me. And she shared when I first, really in the early years, she shared the vision she had. I think it's one of your first visions that you had. When you looked down in this vision, she looked down and she saw a pair of scrawny legs and these old tennis shoes. And she looked to the left and to the right, and she knew she was in a race. And there were well-toned legs and expensive shoes. And she just thought, how could I run this race? And the Lord told her then, you run your own race. You run your own race. And so I'm so thankful that not only she ran her own race, but she's empowered all of us to run our own race and stay in our own lanes and be free to be who we are.
Amen. Well, God continued to lead Charles and Ann and speak to us about his purposes for Life Center. Leaving the green pastures of accounts paid and property owned, we stretch out our hearts and our hands to God's design for our destiny. The miracle of possessing this vast property, this place we now call home, was played out in a David and Goliath reality. Charles and Ann's steadfast leadership and personal sacrifice, focused our hearts on the most important of things. You know, I say that personal sacrifice, I see a lifetime go in front of us. It's true. The important things, building God's kingdom among us, this laid the groundwork for a groundswell of growth. And in so doing, we believe we gained our spiritual and earthly inheritance and future.
So on any given Sunday or wherever you may see them, Charles and Ann can be found pouring their lives out for others. Their relentless pursuit of God, it's truly contagious. Charles will often move among the congregation during worship and pray for one of us, many of us. And Ann will come and look for that one person that's been on her heart that she'll have a prophetic word for. Recently, I was praying for Ann, and God gave me this picture of Aesop's fable where the mouse is taking the thorn out of the lion's paw. And he told me this is where Ann is so gifted. She'll come around and she'll take out that with just a word. She'll take out the pain. She'll breathe life into something, and she'll cause you to have your voice again. And she's been so important to the body of Christ at large in having the lion roar.
It's true. And of all the things you are, Charles, which is too numerous to mention, being the best trivia partner in the whole world. Anyway, he's senior pastor, he's father, he's friend, he's a husband, absolutely a brilliant mind, which some of the greatest leaders in our whole genre of churches have said, we're smart, but Charles is on the brilliant side of life. He is. You're a theologian, you're an apostle. Oh, by the way, did you know that he was a professional river guide? You should see this little cool picture. Let me show it to you. Looking good, Charles, on the river, baby. Come on. I believe really at the heart, you certainly are a spiritual river guide. And I think that many others have wanted to ride with you. And you've given them a spot on your boat on the waters of the kingdom. It is so beautiful. Do you know, during a season, oh, you guys, look at you, leaving it off, don't you? Okay, they can't pay attention. There you go. So, you know, there's a season we went through in the church through 97 and 98 when we were just in this long season, amazing. It was orchestrated by God and very spontaneous. Charles had started to fast in the beginning of the year and did a 40-day fast. And man, you look like an Ethiopian stepchild when we were into that fast. It was ridiculous. Some of us went to 40 and 40-day fasts and Daniel fast. I remember it was in the middle of a 90-day Daniel fast, and it was an amazing time. I had had a very close time with the Lord, a very deep time. And in the midst of that, I could tell you that God spoke to me in a word. And sometimes he speaks and it echoes through your very soul into the very course of your life. He said to me, John, Charles is my friend. That was an amazing word. He's my friend. It was like that, like it's permanent and forever. And it has certainly marked your life, Charles, of all the things you are. And I want to say I'm very happy to call you my friend. I hope all of you feel that way too.
And look at that red hair. It really was.
That's so red.
So Charles and Ann, we love you dearly, and we are profoundly grateful to have walked this journey with you the last 30 plus years. You've impacted our lives and our children's lives.
That's right.
So we have a few other people, mothers and fathers, that want to say a few words to Charles and Ann.
Congratulations on your 30th anniversary.
We are so excited about it, and I'm bending low so that I won't look like I'm a giant over this beautiful shorty. Well, you got your own shorty. Hey, listen, you've done an amazing job, and we are so excited to be a part of your family and a part of your history. And moving all the way from California to the Casket Factory to the Castle on the Hill. Enjoy this day. It's going to be one of the signal days in your life that you'll look back on. Barbara and I are blessed to be part of your family. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Hello and congratulations. Charles and Ann Stock, Wesley Campbell here. And I'm actually in Southern California, where you came from. And you took the call, went like Abraham, going and not knowing, to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And you've built really one of the marvelous churches of America. I call it like a Bethel of the East, a beautiful worship community, missions, schools. It's amazing. So congratulations, you two, on a life well spent.
Hey, I just wanted to wish Charles and Ann Stock just the happiest of 30th anniversaries. You guys are a legend in the earth for the impact that you've made all over the world. And Wesley and I love you. We've loved to co-labor with you on the apostolic team of HIM. We love to be with you. You're just great, great people advancing the kingdom of God. Bless you on your anniversary.
Hi, Charles and Ann. I'm here in Busan, Korea, one of your favorite countries. So I wanted to just go ahead and shoot this and say how much we love you. Sue and I love you. We deeply respect you. And congratulations on being 30 years at Life Center. You've done an amazing job as an apostle, pastor, teacher. In fact, you know, here I am in Korea, and Dr. Hong tells me you're one of the most favorite teachers among all the teachers that they have here at Wagner University. And you're having an impact around the world. And I know you've had a tremendous impact on Sue and me, on your Christ-like character, and your marriage, the outstanding marriage we have. Thank you for being an inspiration, and God bless you on your 30th year at Life Center.
I just want to congratulate you, Charles and Anne, for 30 years of being the pastor of Life Center, and all that God has done through your ministry and through your leadership, and all the people that's been saved and are leading revival, and all the teenagers that now are adults, and just 30 years of serving the Lord. And I thank God for you and for knowing you and what you guys have been in our lives. And so God bless you. God bless Life Center, and God bless you guys, and may the rest of your life be full of His favor.
Charles and Ann Stock, you guys are the best. We love you so much, Carla and I. And listen, we say congratulations. We made it. You made it. Listen, this is our inside joke. Charles will get it. Charles, we're not living in Florida selling oranges on the beach, leading people one by one to Jesus. Now, we could have done it, but the Holy Spirit had a better plan. Anyway, I want to say I love you guys. I love Life Center is blowing up for Jesus, and congratulations. And Charles, listen, let's go for 90 or 95. If you got zip, bro, if you got a little juice in there, let's stay in the anointed flow of the Holy Spirit until He comes again or we go home. Anyway, I love you guys. Congratulations. God bless.
Dear Charles and Ann, congratulations on 30 great years in Life Center. You wrote to me, Charles, some time ago. In this cosmos, we are as He is. And those of us that have watched you and listened to you, your life and words and example have drawn us to be more and more like He is. Your achievements are many, but frankly, it doesn't get better than that when you example Christ and we follow your example. You're truly a man and woman of God. We bless you and thank you.
Hi, Charles and Ann. We celebrate 30 years with you.
Wow, that's amazing.
Amazing. We are so grateful for you. It's been a blessing and an honor to be in this region and serving with you. You're a breath of fresh air to us, great encouragement to us, and we love you so much.
And you know what? I heard that 30 speaks of peak maturity for ministry. Wow. It's like a fullness or perfection. And that's totally you guys.
That's
I'm believing
you.
That in God in this next season is going to pour out of
Come
you
on.
In a new ways, and in new ways that are just going to be so powerful. We love you guys like crazy.
Amen.
Count it an honor to be your friends.
Yay. We love you. Bless you.
Hello, Charles and Ann. We want to congratulate you for 30 years of amazing service right here in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, East Coast. And we joined you about 10 years ago. And the reason we joined is because you're such an amazing leader, and we're so at home here. Our family is at home. You're the most beautiful, wonderful home church that we're so proud of, and we love you, and thank you for being amazingly faithful servants of God. Powerful.
Yeah, and when I think of Charles and Anne, I think of kindness, just the kindness of the Lord, the loving kindness. You're the sweetest people. We're so happy to be here and to be part of this community and fellowship. And more than that, you're friends with us. And we've had a lot of fun experiences, and we hope to have many, many more. We just bless you and honor you for all of your service and, friendship to Jesus.
Thank you so much. We love you.
That's so good, isn't it? Isn't it great just seeing all those people and the lives that Charles and Anne have affected? This is fun, isn't it? Man, I really enjoy this. So, Charles and Anne, you're really special to Marcy and I. You've been with us since the beginning of our lives together at our wedding, our four children born and being raised and continue to be raised. Two homes we've lived in, you prayed with us, and so many things you've affected our lives. And 12 years on South 13th Street, 18 years here on South 40th Street, and we think between 3,500 and 4,000 services we've been together. So that's a long time, isn't it? It's really exciting, isn't it? But really, Charles and Anne, your love for God, your devotion to Him, your sacrificial life, and your prayer-filled lives have challenged Marcy and myself to follow God every day of our lives. So we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for your leadership, your wisdom, your insight, your patience, and your kindness.
So like John said earlier, no matter how new you are, how old you are to Life Center, all of this, all that you're seeing, hearing, it's for you. Grab a hold of something that, you know, makes your heart leap and just own it. Things, values that Charles and Anne have imparted here, joy, generosity, honor, it's obvious to all of us that they're full of joy. It's become one of their many strengths. And generosity, they have given suicidally, like John likes to say. They've given of their own lives, their resources beyond all reason. And honor, one of the things you probably have felt it is every person here is important, and they make sure that it's shown, that it's felt. So thank you for those values. Also the things, and I don't know if this is the right word, the structure, the pillars, for lack of a better word, that they have taught and kind of built Life Center around is the great commandment. They're always telling us to love others, experience the love of God and give it away. The great commission, go and make disciples. How many times are we encouraged to go and minister right where we're at, where we're working? To enlarge the tent. Hey, let's make room for everyone. Let's enlarge the tent. Charles' own words were, let's make God famous. Raising the banner. We want to do that around here. Raise the banner. And this is my favorite. That's probably why I left it for last. Is about being a Levite and a servant. They live this. That just like Jesus came not to be served, but to be a servant to many and lay his life down. They have done that, and they're teaching all of us to do that. So thank you. Thank you.
Guys, your lifestyle message of walking in and staying in the love of God really has provided a safe place for all the sons and daughters to grow up and be who God's called them to be. This culture that you guys have cultivated here that gives first place to the presence of God has allowed countless number of people to go after their dreams and fulfill their destinies. For 30 years, you guys have pursued God and believe that with Him, anything is possible. And I believe that's opened the doors to the miraculous here. Amen. How many people would agree? 30 years ago, you guys opened the door to a whole new level of prayer, and personally to me, and I believe to the whole church. And after a few prayer meetings with you guys, I realized you had a prayer life that I hadn't seen very often. And you weren't just praying through a list or declaring things, which are wonderful. But when we got with you guys, we realized you were really, there was a true communion with God. And it challenged and affected Marcy and I deeply. I believe within a year or so of your leadership, you asked about three or four of us to take a day a week. And if you're unaware of this, this is probably 89, 1990. And each of us were asked to pray from 6 a.m. to 12 noon. And we decided we'd pray in the sanctuary because that's where we had our meetings. And we were praying just for the church, not for Aunt so-and-so or, you know, but really just for the church, those that are community of the believers there at that time. And there were some chilly days because we couldn't afford to heat that part of the building. So we wore our winter coats. True story. And you could see your breath in the sanctuary. Honestly, it was some cold mornings there. But absolutely, it was amazing. I believe those years of prayer really have been a foundation to so much that has developed over the years. And it really wasn't just those 4 or 5 years that you guys, you know, pushed the daily prayer, but it was your lifestyle of prayer that was so challenging. And over again, you would go, guys would call the church to fast and pray, as John mentioned. A number of 40-day fasts that turn into, I don't know, 90-day fasts, but months of fasting and praying. Weekends and weekends of nonstop prayer we held. And I love that one of the first things we did when we arrived here, that Charles and Ann said, let's pray. And I remember walking in and standing on the globe over near the coffee bar, and we prayed. And then we spent, I don't know how many meetings we prayed in the office area overlooking the hill. Before we ever had any services here, we'd spend time in there just praying. And Ann was so adamant, let me have to just pray. Pray for the atmosphere of heaven to fill this place. And it was amazing. And after we moved in here, I lost count of how many times we'd cleared the atrium of all the tables and chairs. And we had weekends of just worship and prayer nonstop. We start on a Thursday night and go through Sunday morning, and 72 hours of prayer. And it was wonderful. If that wasn't enough, you guys were determined to have a place devoted to 24-hour prayer. And I remember, as everybody remembers, if you were here at that time, that this was probably one of the most difficult projects that we encountered. But there was a pillar in the furnace, what is the furnace now, and there was all kinds of structures and things in there. And I know a number of men said, we can't do this. We can't move the pillar. We can't develop this. And you guys just stayed the course. And because of that, you saw the pillar removed, and you established a room, a holy place for unending prayer. So we say thank you, because this is one of the main pillars that's built here, prayer. Amen. Would you agree with that? Come on. In addition to prayer, you guys also purposed in your heart to embrace the prophetic and establish the culture that didn't just tolerate the prophet or allow the prophet, but you guys established a culture that celebrated the prophet. And you declared, as it says in 2 Chronicles 20:20, that we will believe as prophets and we will succeed. We will prosper. I had never known that. And I think it was 1990. I thought I knew the whole Bible, but it was amazing. But starting with Kim Clement coming and prophesying this very building that we're in now. And now we're living in the reality of this fulfillment of this prophetic word. Isn't that amazing? Because you guys taught us to honor the prophets. That was awesome. Prophets such as James Gall, Stacy Campbell, Larry Randolph, Cindy Jacobs, Lou Engel, Bobby Connor, I could go on and on, Bob Hazlett, and others have been instrumental in God's plan for Life Center. Words such as this vast property on a hill that overlooks the freeway for the purposes of children, the purposes of training, where laws would be changed because of what happens in this place. Other words, if you know that word by Kim Clement, other words, James Gall, the Lord is giving you an amp when the apostolic is made personal. Then there will be a parade of authentic, and it goes on and on, ministries, miracles, missions. And then there will be a mighty authority in the prophetic, turning the words and letters around. An amazing, so powerful, before we ever came into this building. Not knowing this building was owned by AMP. If you didn't know that, he didn't know that, but totally amazing. Other words like, I see lifelines going to the nations. So many powerful words we received, all because you guys celebrated and embraced the prophetic. We say thank you.
So, I just want to tell a little story because I think so many of you will find yourself in it. About 12 years ago, I began to have some encounters with God. And it wasn't in the church. It was in my bedroom. And something began to happen in me. I was awoken to a level of hunger I didn't know existed. I would spend hours a day in prayer just seeking his face. And I just had this feeling that there was so much more. And when I would go to other churches and I would visit, because I hadn't been to Life Center yet, I just felt what was happening in me was so different than that church. And I didn't dishonor what was there. It's just what was happening inside was so real. Anyway, one day I stumbled into this place and I found out that what was happening in me was not rare. It was actually normal. I felt like I was in heaven on earth. You know, and I found out that they had an entire room devoted just to prayer, and it was called the furnace. To this day, it's my favorite room in this entire church. But I'm in there, and I realize that I'm not just praying my prayer, that it's mingled with the prayers of Charles and Anne and generations behind me to make this beautiful offering. And I just realize that as I'm in there praying, that I'm not just praying with their prayers, that I'm an answer to their prayers, as are all of us are. And so I am so proud to be hewn from this rock and to call Charles and Anne mom and dad. I can't tell you. I can't imagine better parents on the face of the earth. That's how I feel. And the way that one generation chooses to live opens up possibilities for the next that they never would have had. And I feel like I could never be grateful enough, even if I didn't get it directly. Indirectly, the atmosphere that they have created has been imparted so deep inside me, it defines who I am with both prayer and prophecy. So,
come on. So if you've been affected by prayer in this house, come on, why don't you raise your hand? No, let's just stand up. If you've been affected by prayer or the prophetic, you've had prophetic impartation, come on. And maybe you haven't. We want to pray that you get it all. Amen. Come on, as Marcy said, everything that's happening here, we pray that everybody partakes of. So Lord, we just come on, we lift our hands. God, we thank you for this prayer life that's been exemplified, been modeled before us. God, we thank you. We pray the grace to live our lives prayer-filled, Father. And Lord, we thank you for the prophetic. We embrace and we thank you for this, the word made more sure. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1. God, this word, the prophetic word made more sure. We receive it and open our hearts. And we thank you. We're living in the fulfillment of prophetic word from 1991. God, thank you for that. God, we say more, release the more, the prophetic words into our lives, into our hearts, into our families, into this community and region. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.
Well, I don't think words can even describe how thankful I am to be in a church that believes in the miraculous. My parents came to this church almost 30 years ago when I was just 8 years old. The first service they attended, Charles called them out of the crowd and prophesied over them. They had been looking for a church that was spirit-filled and presence-driven. Needless to say, Life Center became our home. What has been cultivated here under Charles and Ann is a place that encourages faith in the God of miracles. We really believe here that with God, all things are possible, and that's how we pray. So when my life was threatened by massive blood clots and I was rushed to the hospital after flatlining twice and being pumped full of blood thinners, my mom knew who to call to pray. Though she wasn't fully aware at the time how severe my condition was, she called her friend Ann. And in a moment of clarity, she said to her, "Please pray. Tiffany is fighting for her life." After a short time of praying at home, Anne made Charles bring her to the hospital so she could pray with my parents and the others who gathered there at the time. While I was in surgery, they were seated in a small room praying quietly and described the tone as somber and uncertain. Then, with authority and confidence, Anne stood to her feet and declared, "We aren't going to take this sitting down." The atmosphere changed and became electric with faith as everybody stood to their feet in agreement and started declaring life over me. Soon the call was going out over Facebook to stand and pray because we aren't going to take this sitting down. And again, another charge to the atmosphere was released as you began to join and pray with confidence and authority. That statement, "We aren't going to take this sitting down," was not just a charge for me in my life 6 years ago, but it's a statement of this house that resonates in everything we do and say. We will not be passive when it comes to the heart of God and believing for miracles of any sort. Charles and Anne have stewarded and protected this for us and for the generations to come. And I am forever grateful. And I was supposed to add that John is also forever grateful. He didn't want to be left out. So this morning, I really felt that God wanted to honor Charles and Anne by releasing miracles. So if you are believing for a miracle at this season of your life, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Any capacity, healing, financial miracles, family restorations, relationship restoration, Father God. Okay, now the rest of you, if you're still seated, I want you to stand up with them because we aren't going to take this sitting down. Come on. It's a prophetic sign and it's a prophetic act for this moment. So let's begin to declare, Father, we thank you for your presence and the power of your name and the healing and the miracles and the signs and wonders that follow those who are after your heart. That is a call on this house, and we just declare it into the atmosphere this morning, that life would be released, that financial breakthrough would come, and that relationships would be healed and restored in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Tiff. I'm not part of the 30-year club, but fairly close.
It was 25 years ago that I walked into Word Fellowship and had something of God explode in me. I had just left home and parents in Dubai as a scrawny 18-year-old kid. Little did I know that He was planting me here for the long run with spiritual parents in Charles and Anne who would influence my life in the most profound way. Your lives were true north for me in many moments years before you started preaching that message. I remember the many late nights of impartation during the early crazy renewal days. I became a God chaser, inspired by your love and your pursuit of Him. In one of those extended nights, I, along with many others who were somehow on stage, under the power of a personal encounter with God, snot and all, I heard a lot of movement to one side of me. And when I peeked out to my left, I saw Anne, who was earnestly doing a slow but deliberate military crawl towards me. When she finally got to me, she said, she had spoken some things to me, and at the end she said, she whispered like she always does, "You are like a son." Looking back, I know those were seeds that would grow in me. Sarah and I and our family, we're back here now, having left everything one more time because of what we love, admire, and see demonstrated in both of you. My favorite quote from Charles, and I'm sure most of us have many, it's simple, but when it comes by revelation, it's profound. Thank you for loving simply, but having a profound impact. You've taught us that the seed contains the DNA of the whole tree. Charles and Anne, you two became the offering you intended to put in the basket for good karma. And 30 years ago, at the cost of leaving your own home and environment, you became the seed of promise that carried the DNA of a culture of love and joy and encounter that we all call home today. As a son and as a family, Sarah and I want to say to you, thank you. 30 years is significant in scriptures, and I have this stirring in my heart for Charles and Anne and for us as a community, but specifically for Anne. 30 years in scriptures marks the change from preparation to coming into the promise. Joseph started at the palace at 30. David became king at 30. And Jesus started His ministry at 30. But one thing notable about the amazing moment when Jesus began His ministry, we know what happened at the wedding at Cana. It wasn't Jesus who had come into the fullness of His time, because He said, "This is not my time to do these miracles." But it was someone else in the picture, Mary, who had carried the seed of promise of who He was and who He will become over 30 years, stood in that place and demanded the acceleration of the ministry of Jesus on the earth. And I want to honor Anne for carrying the seed of promise all of these years. And they're championing today, not just their life and their ministry, they're championing a generation that is coming after them. And we're proud to be part of it. We're proud to be part of waiting in the blocks ready to go, because you've paid the price and we get to run with great joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Just like Mary accelerated the ministry of Jesus, I feel as a church, we're going to come into, as we mark this momentous day in their lives, I feel we're going to come into an accelerated movement into the things that God has called us to. They've paid the price of waiting in order that we can accelerate with Him, out of time and out of sequence. So I want to bless Anne. I want to bless us into this prophetic season, that these 30 years will count to much multiplication and fruit through the acceleration of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to share a little bit of the DNA that's in the house around dreams and our destinies being revealed and also called forth. It's bigger still was the first prophetic word that Rick and I got from Charles and Ann. It was about 20 years ago. And I know that God always works from the end product backwards. So some of my earliest memories of Charles and Ann during that time were the demonstration of their ability to, the unique ability they have to know when to hold on and when to let go. I witnessed that as a young mom. I was transforming. I also watched their ability to know when to instruct and give direction and then when to let us fail forward. That was pretty powerful. They can speak to both the pain and the promise at the same time. So they're able to restore the broken dreamers. They're dreamers. They encourage dreaming. They empower dreaming. As a matter of fact, they stretch us to dream way beyond. And one of the ways I've watched them do it is they leave little breadcrumbs along their path so that when you're walking that way, whether it's Anne giving you a little snippet, a word coming to you with just one word, or it's Charles unpacking a truth that's so deep that you meditate on it for years around your kitchen table, and all of your kids still talk about when there's a shaking going on, the Doppler effect. One way or another, they leave breadcrumbs so that we can make our way back to what we were destined to do. The deep inside of Charles and Ann, it calls out to the deep inside of us, and it calls us to step in and to step up. They show us what growth looks like. They give us frameworks of growth in both the spiritual and in the practical. And I know they understand that everyone's journey is unique, but they have this amazing, intense way of navigating these waters of change. And they can see the message in your mess before you even know there is a mess. You don't even realize. And I'm so thankful. Rick and I have sat with them many times and received a word from God that was so simple, like gratitude or generosity. And it's caused us to look at what the main thing really is and how to keep it the main thing. And I know they've suffered a lot. As a matter of fact, they walk with a limp. But that limp is a picture of the victory that marks their lives and the road that we get to walk on. I remember God used Charles and Ann during those early years in 1999 when we were touring through here. And one of the first things that they said to us as a couple was, "God wastes no pain." Wow. So what we have witnessed in their lives in this body is an open display of the trophies of grace. They've encouraged us to look beyond what we're dealing with and what we're suffering through, or even what we've just come out of, and to see it as a monument to the grace of God. The times when we should have quit, the times when we should have died, God's grace has kept us. So we can grab a hold of courage to continue to dream and dream big. I'd like to pray for you. Would you put your hand on your eyes? Father, I pray that the eyes of our hearts will be clear and enlightened, and that the scars that we have will shine with your light, and that you'll abound in the hope that our lives were destined for abundance. I pray that your salvation is manifest in our lives daily by faith, through grace, and through time, that each one of us would be brought into our full destiny, that we will endure this good news lived out in our lives and everything that it brings with us, causing us to be fully equipped, living out your full purpose on the earth with nothing missing and with nothing broken. In Jesus' name.
Awesome. So my wife and I and our kids, we've been here about 6 years, and we felt like we'd had this word from the Lord to move to Harrisburg, come to Life Center, and raise our kids in the presence of God. And we had never really attended Life Center as a church. We just kind of knew about it from afar. And the first time that we had Charles and Ann over our house, one of our kids actually hid her sandals. And we couldn't find them at the end of the night. We just couldn't even find them. And so Ann left the house barefoot. And we were so mortified. We're like, oh my gosh, like, what are they going to think about us? But they're just so humble, and we've learned so much from them. And one of the things we've learned is just about love. And now when we look back and we say, God brought us here to teach us how to love. You know, and this one time my wife, I got home and my wife Stephanie says to me, did you have lunch with Charles today? I said, yeah, how did you know? And she said this, she said, I always know when you have lunch with Charles because you're come back different. There's something that changes in you. And they have nurtured that for us for 30 years. And I'm just so thankful that stepping in 6 years ago, I get to feed off of this 30-year history that everyone's been talking about that's so beautiful. And Anne always says, even if you come at the end, you get to participate. I can't say it as well as you do, Anne. You get to participate like you've been there the whole time. So if you've been here 10 years or less, just put your hand over your heart. And just say, I want it all, God. I want all of it. So Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence which touches us, for your love that changes us. Father, we pray for a release of every good thing you have. Amen.
So good. You know, we didn't discuss ahead of time what we were each going to share, but you can feel the commonalities. You can feel it. We're each sons and daughters of the living God, yeah? We're the ones who carry on legacy, the inheritors, the beneficiaries, we're adopted ones, and we co-labor. And in that same breath, we're here on earth, sons and daughters, with parents. And here in this house, in the spirit, we also have been adopted as sons and daughters. This house, Life Center, is full of Holy Spirit-filled, fire-carrying, love-bombing sons and daughters. That's you. And I'd like to take a minute to thank Charles and Anne, our mother and father in this house, for the example that they've set for us as their kids. Charles and Anne have lived a life of selfless obedience, pursuing God at all costs. They've taught us by example that the body isn't made from one generation, but the joining of generations to carry out all that God has available for us. They're Abraham and Sarah, available to be used by God. They've been Abraham and Sarah laying down their comforts to obey. They're Abraham and Sarah trusting in God's promises with hopeful expectation that he will do everything that he has set out to do. I first met Charles and Anne when I was 14. I remember coming to a revival meeting in the casket factory on the weekend. There were people crawling under chairs, and there were grown men doing cartwheels in the aisles. What in the world is happening? But what I quickly learned as a young daughter in this house was that Charles and Anne were always willing to take a risk if there was a chance that God was in the middle of what we were doing. They would risk the reputation, they would risk this house's reputation if it meant that God could have space to inhabit our praises. This radical obedience has opened the door for healings and miracles and lives to be saved. Charles is brilliant. He is the river God father who can answer every question on Jeopardy. Anne, she is calculated and selfless. Her Holy Spirit phrases have pulled us out of ditches and rallied us through seasons. Their willingness to work together as parents of this house and share with us the hardships and the joys that they've experienced along the way has personally given me encouragement for the present and hope for the future. We've learned from Charles that to really live a life is to live in love. So as I reflected on what these two have done for us as sons and daughters, I realize more than anything that they have been the plows, busy at work so that we could come and walk behind them. We have gleaned from their hardships. Mothers and fathers lay themselves down so that the next generation can rise up. They continue to cultivate the atmosphere here with their passionate pursuit of Jesus. And to quote Anne, like a true mother and father, they live their lives joyfully for the others. It's always for the others. So thank you, Charles and Anne, for laying your lives down. Thank you for your example, and thank you for being such a great mother and father.
Yeah, come on. This is so much fun. Come on, church, you enjoying this? This is the best. Well, I was 2 years old when Charles and Anne arrived and became the senior leaders of this house. Around that time was when my mom had that prophetic dream that she shared earlier, where Charles would take the foundation of this place and set it deep in the ocean, the deep things of God, his presence, his freedom. And Charles and Anne, for me personally, you didn't only set the course of this church and my parents' lives, but it was a multi-generational blessing. You set the course for my life and Michael's life and Brian's life. They asked me not to leave that out as well, kind of like John. But through your leadership of our family, you too have taught me and imparted to me certain things that no one else could about God's kingdom. His love for me, his freedom, as a worship leader, the power of encountering his presence. What it looks like to live and lead sacrificially, full of faith, and what God can do with that faith when we trust him. Look where we are today. So awesome. What's also powerful to me personally and Johanna is that because of you, our children, our two girls, will walk in what you've taught and imparted to me. So Charles and Anne, thank you for that generational blessing on my life. You're a spiritual mom and dad to me. You've never withheld a blessing, and you haven't treated me like a stepson or John's son. You've always treated me like your son, so thank you. Some of you might not know this, and some of you may know this. Charles and Anne are really amazing gift givers. I don't know if you've ever received a gift from Charles and Anne, but they're really thoughtful and they're always practical. For instance, when I was 2 years old, Charles got me my first Steelers jersey, which is a big deal. It's a really big game today if there's any Steeler fans out there. Got the Bengals. But Charles and Anne were always so thoughtful and practical. We used to spend every Christmas together, every Christmas Eve before we'd have the Christmas Eve service, before our families expanded. And one Christmas, there's three boys in our house. And we're all under the age of seven. So it's like, what do you get three boys under the age of seven? And I don't think we had any money. I don't know if you guys had any money at that time. But so they gave each of us a bag of about a billion rubber bands and these rubber band guns that they made from home. But the best part was they took us down into my parents' basement for the next hour. They turn off all the lights, and we had the most epic rubber band gun war in the entire history of rubber band gun wars. And for three boys under the age of seven, it was total heaven. But the most memorable gift, Charles Ann, that you must have given me was my first car when I was 16 years old. And it was a 1987 Nissan Stanza. It was maroon. Everything about it was maroon. It was the coolest car. It had power, everything in it, and it was in mint condition. And I was especially thankful because I just started dating Johanna at the time, and she really thought the car was cool. So thank you for that. And Charles went on to marry us, so that was a big deal. Really helped me. So thank you, Charles. But in preparation for today's celebration and looking back on that gift specifically, I thought, wow. To me, this gift is a picture of what you both do and have done, continue to do for the next generation. Charles and Anne, you hand us the keys to what you've already pioneered, what you've already paid for, stewarded, and sacrificed for. You hand us the keys and equip us to become who we're created to be. And you send us with blessing and celebrate us into our callings and our destiny. And I personally believe, not just as a son, but as a worship leader of this house, that's why the worship here is so amazing. It's not because of all the cool young worship leaders and amazing musicians. It's because, Charles and Anne, you created a place to honor the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit can dwell and people can encounter God right in the middle of worship. You've imparted this passion to me, John, Tiffany, Ricardo. Thank you. Malachi 4:6 says this, and many of us know this verse. It says, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. You've created an atmosphere, Charles and Anne, and built a house where this continually takes place. The reality is, in a house like this, where there's a great father and mother like you, chances are there's a lot of great sons and great daughters.
sons and daughters with your DNA and your unstoppable passion for the kingdom of God. And this house, this ministry will go on for generations and generations and generations. Your influence goes beyond this house. Right here today, the sons and daughters that you have aren't only here locally, but they're also across the nations of this earth, expanding the kingdom of God. Because of this, we'd like to play for you guys this next video. So Charles and Anne, thank you. We love you. I personally love you.
My life, like yours, has always been partitioned into before and after. Before the cross-country drive from California to Pennsylvania, and after Word Fellowship, skipping over that one wilderness year in between. This past summer, you met us in California, and we visited the rock where you were married, the lake where I learned to swim, the house you built with your own hands, and the church where you first ministered, leading children's church with roaring renditions of Father Abraham. I spent a lot of time this summer contemplating the before. And what became clear to me was that you were busy and comfortable and productive in California, but it wasn't until you came to Life Center that you were really alive. Thinking back on one of the many Bible chapters, not verses, that you helped us memorize in that house you built with your own hands, 1 Corinthians 13 ends with, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." Before Life Center, it was like you were seeing through a glass darkly, celebrating with you 30 years of seeing face to face.
31 years ago, my parents packed up their U-Haul and headed east. Heeding the Lord's call, they left California, their friends, their family, their life's work, and arrived in Pennsylvania just in time for the long gray haul, our family's nickname for the dreary Pennsylvania winters. Shortly after arriving, it seemed as if it was all some colossal mistake. At age 37, it seemed as if their life's work had been for naught. But God had a plan. He had orchestrated everything, stringing together a chain of events that would bring this couple to Harrisburg to usher in a great move of God. And through their diligence and their faithfulness, thousands, if not tens of thousands, of lives have been touched. They were never afraid to follow the Lord and to seek His presence. Their pioneering life, their passion for Him, their perseverance has been an amazing example to me and to so many others. Mom and Dad, I love you so much, and I am so proud to be your daughter. Thank you for the example you have set. Thank you for the life of faith that you are living. Thank you for the legacy that you will leave.
And if it weren't for your obedience to the Lord, my dad couldn't have driven the 45 minutes all the way from Shippensburg to your church just to visit my mom every week. And so we are exceedingly thankful for that.
We love you, Oma and Opa!
Love you so much. We're so happy to be part of your lives, and it's just been so amazing to do this journey with you guys over the past 30 years, and we hope that you just have a wonderful time celebrating God's faithfulness and goodness to you, to Life Center, and to your family over these past 30 years, and here's to 30 more years of glorious service in the kingdom of God. We love you guys, and we miss you, and we can't wait to be reunited with you guys again. I hope you guys are having a terrific time as you celebrate this day. Bye.
Bye. Love you. Miss you.
30 years of ministry, and you are still burning. What a sign and a wonder to a generation. Charles and Anne, we love you guys so much. From the Foyts, your investment into our life has meant everything. We would not be where we are without you. And I know I speak on behalf of an entire generation, thanking you for being incredible moms and dads and burning brightly for 30 years. We love you so much.
Charles and Anne, happy 30th anniversary at Life Center. Chelsea and I, we love you. We love who you are. We are so honored and privileged to be able to observe your marriage and your lives and to hear of your adventures, your God adventures, to hear of your testimony of a life that was laid down in love for Jesus Christ. We have very many teachers around, but we don't have very many fathers and mothers like you. We're just so honored to know you and to be a part of your lives. God bless you guys today.
Hi, Charles and Anne. I love you guys so much. Happy 30-year anniversary of Life Center. That church has played such an integral role in my life, my family's life. You too have played such a deep, deep, deep role in our lives and our hunger and our pursuit for God. We love you so much, and we are so grateful for all that you've poured in. Have an amazing celebration on this 30th year. We love you guys.
Charles and Ann Stock, I want to thank you so much for all that you've poured into this community, into Life Center, for being a blessing to not only just our own church, but the whole entire city, and also the nations that have been blessed by it. I, as well as many other sons and daughters throughout the world, have been blessed by your personal sacrifice and commitment to Jesus Christ. And so I just want to thank you from Ruth and I and our whole family. Thank you for doing all that you've done in this area. And we are a fruit and a byproduct of what you've done. So bless you and have a great time at this tribute.
Hi, Pastor Charles and Life Center. This is the Dumaine family from Montreal, Quebec. 30 years of ministry at Life Center. That's 3/4 of my life. That's crazy long. Congratulations.
Congratulations. We just want to thank you guys. You are such an amazing spiritual parents for Joe and I and for our family, our church, and for this province. So thank you so much for investing and pouring in to others everything that you have. We love you so much. Have an amazing day today.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
We're so happy for you. Wow. Yeah. 30 years. Thank you so much for just totally pouring out your lives, not just on us, but everyone at Life Center, for leaving family and coming in obedience to God. And you taught us so much just with the way that you've lived as friends of God.
Yeah, you've never held back a blessing from us, and we've just felt like your children because of it. And our whole lives have been blessed. And this little girl is blessed, yes, because of it. We so just love true. You guys so much.
Love you.
So Charles and Anne, would you come? And church, as they come, can we stand and honor Charles and Anne, the mother and father of this house, and celebrate 30 years of laying their lives down and who they are?
All right. Oh, you guys are awesome. Thank you. Thank you for everyone. You're so kind. So, okay. We'll start over from the beginning right now. All right. Thank you so much. We are more than blessed. We're deeply honored. And actually, this turned out to be much better than I expected. And we wept most of the way through the first service. So this one, it was like reruns, you know. So we got to just enjoy it and check out a few details, but wow, so good. In fact, it really, on the way this morning, we were saying, look, you know, sometimes when the kids do things for the parents, it's not so good, but the hearts are good. And but this was awesome. Thank you, John, Brian, Patty, Marcy, and everyone that was involved in planning it. Or it's like everything. It blew my mind. And I really liked that young preacher. It was good. You may not know this, but I could hear Lonnie Frisbee's voice in my voice. There was something, a quality of his preaching in the Jesus movement that got deep into me, and I heard it coming out, and People used to tell me that, especially in the early years of the renewal, we'd run into old friends of ours from California, and it's exciting. So I just think someday you guys will be preaching and hear yourself on a video and go, hey, I heard a little bit of Charles Stock in that, right? So just amazing, beautiful, glorious. I know a lot of Randy's sons. They sound like Randy when they're preaching, and it's just, it's good. It's generational impartation. I used to listen to Chandi and think he sounded so much like Asher and Trader. You know? Anyway, hey, why don't you be seated? I won't take long here, but I don't want to keep you standing. It makes me feel guilty or like I need to have an altar call really quick. But thank you for all the beautiful memories. They really actually were surprising because we had no idea what was coming. And it's amazing. You know, 31 years ago, we left California, and we were battered by our friends. Now, that was a temporary battering, you know. We're still friends with those friends and love them dearly. But we were so battered and bruised, and we were struggling, just crying out, God, take us to a place of healing. The number one Christian marriage counselor in Northern California used to cry when, you know, he got overly emotionally involved in our suffering. He said he had never seen a situation like that. And when we were leaving, I talked to him on the phone, saying, hey, this is crazy, but we're moving to Pennsylvania. And he's like, you sure? And he said, okay, I want to tell you something. I've never seen a couple under as much pressure as you two are survive. And I'm glad we did. And when, you know, we got here, it was ugly. And not the place. We were in a really ugly townhouse. We left a beautiful house I'd built myself. And we came to a group that was called Jubilee, but we used to privately call it Ichabod. It was so bad. 8 unhappy adults and 2 children. And we added to it. And so we closed it down, came to Word Fellowship. Thank God for Pastor Dave Landis. He had recognized that we fulfilled a prophecy. His son, Jesse, was one of the last videos, and he recognized I'd fulfilled a prophecy. When we closed that down, came just on a Sunday morning, we didn't know we closed one book of our life. We were entering another whole volume, not a chapter, but a volume. And it's been amazing. It wasn't easy. Thank God for John and Brian and a few survivors came through all the fires, but I just want to say this, that it didn't seem like we should make it. Many thought we wouldn't. And when Word Fellowship went through a crisis shortly after we came, hooray, you know, we just got here in time for it to get worse. And most people didn't think it would make it. And here we are. So I want to close with this. I had much longer remarks just in case it was needed. But I wrote this morning. This is God's way. In the darkest hours of the night, His steps draw near across the black and storm-tossed waves, where every man in that boat thought they were going to die. Peter, who would eventually give his life in Rome. Thomas, who would go to as far as India. John, who would outlive them all, end his life as an amazing revelator of Jesus Christ. They all thought they were going to die. As the day of execution is breaking, the angel comes to Peter's cell. When the scaffold for Mordecai is complete, then the king's sleepless night leads to a turning of the tables in favor of captive Israel. Difficulty is the very atmosphere of miracle. It is a miracle in its first stage. And if it's to be a great miracle, the condition is not difficulty, but impossibility. So I just want to say that to any here who feel like they're in difficult or impossible circumstances. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows your boat will sink if he doesn't show up. Would you stand up? I just want to pray for you. But maybe Ann wants to say a few words first. Would you like to, or do you want?
Well, in the first service, I mentioned that I was so grateful that you included our daughters, Elizabeth and Anastasia, because I wanted to honor them and the choice they made when they were 10 and 13. They were very uncomfortable in Pennsylvania, and they really wanted to go back to California, but they chose and said, yes, we will stay here with you. And it is because of their sacrifice and their choice that Mom was able to say, okay, then we can stay. Because we all know Mom can't go on if her children can't go on. And so they are credited to all that has transpired here as well. And I just want to bless any of you who have paid a silent sacrifice that nobody else knows about, that God sees it, and you're going to be blessed and have a great harvest from it.
Thank you. So I'd like, if you were one of the speakers this morning, I'd like you to be ready to come up and pray for anyone who wants impartation from that. But I just want to pray for all of you. Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us and will quicken, give life to our bodies that are prone to death, that will bring hope in the most helpless situation. We thank you that in our dying we find your life, and in our giving we find your goodness. We thank you, Father, that you're faithful to the end. And Father, we just pray this would be this next season, this next 10 years or however many years. We are seeing a turning in our nation, a releasing of revival, a releasing of miracles. We pray that for everyone here facing difficult situations. We declare it over our nation, declaring a difficult season, and we declare the best is yet to come. We declare that in the dark and stormy night, Jesus walks upon the water to bring the boat safely to its destination, and we declare the best is yet to come. In the name of Jesus, can you say amen? Yeah. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and all your children. May he keep you safe. May he be gracious to you. May his presence and his face shine on your lives. Every time you pray, may you know his countenance is lifted up and he's listening to what you're saying. And your sighs may be your deepest prayers. And may his peace, his shalom, is nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything as he intended it to be totally manifest as you carry his name wherever you go. Amen, amen, amen. So go out and change the world.
Come on, let's have one more shout. Come on, let's have one more shout to the Lord. Come on. Well, listen, you're released. If the ministry team could come up forward, we'd love you to have a chance of touch a point of faith and prayer. Otherwise, we release you to have the best day. Thank you so much. Just continue to celebrate.